up there. I'll
let Tom get. I'm going to call the order and.
Yeah.
Sorry, are you good?
Okay. Yep. West Lafayette Community School Corporation regular meeting, Board of School Trustees, Monday, May the 6th, 2019. It is 6:30, and I need approval of the agenda, please. Second by Mrs. Witt, second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion carries. Item two, approval of the minutes of the April 1st, 2019 regular meeting. I need a motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Prock now.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion, any changes?
No.
Look good to me as well. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Communication from the audience, nobody has signed up. Shy people, I think. That's okay, though. And unfinished business, I have none. We'll move on to new business and academic achievement. Dr. Killian.
U.S. News World Report just came out with the best high schools designation, and I'm pleased to report that we're in the top 1% of the nation for STEM, as well as the overall ranking out of 17,000 plus high schools. Our high school ranked to 247 for overall academics and ranked 45 for STEM. We ranked third in the state behind Signature School, which has 91 students. It's a charter school, and they get to select their 91 students. Wish we could do that.
Yeah.
Not really. I don't want to do that. I was kidding. And behind Zionsville, and Zionsville always is ahead of us because the U.S. News World Report puts a lot of points on international baccalaureate, which we don't have. And it would cost us $750,000 thereabout to implement international baccalaureate. So I don't know if it's worth that much money to become second. So I'm happy where we are, and they're very pleased with the work of our staff. And that's a K through 12 initiative as well. That's everyone working together. And then on June 13th, the Department of Education will be recognizing the top schools in Indiana for advanced placement recognition, and this is our seventh year in a row to be recognized by the Department of Education. So wanted to give you that information.
Okay, thank you. That's good news. Academic Achievement Facilities update, and Dr. Killian.
Some dates to keep in mind. July 24th at 10 a.m. will be the groundbreaking for the James R. Guy Education Wing at 10 a.m. And then at 1 p.m. on the same day will be the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center groundbreaking. The ribbon cutting for West Lafayette Elementary School, formerly known as Cumberland, will be on July 31st at 10 a.m. And there'll be save the dates that'll be coming out to you. At some point, I want to get the board in for a tour of everything before some of those events happen. And I'm still working with the architects to get that finalized in the construction folks. So give me a little bit more time on that. The Aquatic Center will open mid to late October. And at this time, I'm recommending that using the rental income that we'll get from the Aquatic Center, we should go ahead and establish an Aquatic Center's director like they do at Zionsville and Carmel. The rentals will cover that position, and we can also make it an outside consult so it doesn't affect our educational fund or operational funds. This is done at Carmel, Zionsville, and other aquatic centers that we've researched. So I'm recommending your approval to allow the administration to move forward in that regard. So when we open in October, we'll be ready to go to not only utilize the facility well, but also to make some significant dollars on the rental.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion.
Are you expecting the Aquatic Center position to be full-time?
Mm-hmm. Full-time. And if you talk with the folks at Zionsville, you talk with the folks at Carmel, it more than pays for itself. If you have the right person, we have a lot of requests for rentals already. And so we just need someone to coordinate all that. Then the position is paid for, plus additional monies. Joel come into the athletics department because of the rentals. So that might help you.
Hours of operation going to be, are they already established?
They have not been established. It would be up to the aquatics director in consultation with the building principal, and we'll have a presentation on that once we get everything in place.
And are all those rentals expected to be outside of academic calendar?
Mm-hmm. The schools always have priority, and then everything else will be based upon openings as needed.
Yeah, because it gets a lot of use with dual swimming, goes all day long, or more early morning and late afternoon.
Yeah. We're also good, the estimate for the amount of money we're going to save in maintenance on this versus the old pool is significant, and we're getting those numbers crunched.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of the motion as worded, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Let's go on to lease proceedings for the 2019 bond issue, and Mr. Sloat.
Okay, we have about five steps to go through here, and Bob may chip in if we run into some issues or questions on it. But basically, the first thing, you know, this has to do with our issuance of our bond in this summer. And so the first thing, we've advertised these appropriately, got proof of advertisement for the lease. The lease itself, you know, we first hold a hearing on the lease. You had the lease document. Basically, you know, we're setting up the building court to do the construction, and this has to do with the Jim Guy Educational Wing and the Robert Kelly Performing Arts Center. So it's two parcels that we're going to lease. Say we'd hold the hold the mortgage. We'll make lease payments. It'll pay the payments on the bond. And the lease then outlines a maximum amount. Now, since we haven't sold the bond, we don't know for sure what the lease payment is, but we've calculated out what the maximum amount would be, so that's covered in this lease agreement. Then goes on to say that, you know, we'll keep insurance on it. We won't sublease, and it would be the standard requirement you'd see in pretty much any lease document. You know, at the end of the lease time period, which would probably be 20 years, you know, this real estate then be deeded back over to the school corporation. So Alan, the first step we have to do is allow any public input on this lease before we take action on it.
Okay. Floor is yours. Anybody would like to make a public comment about the lease? Hearing none. Mr. Sloat, you may go ahead.
Okay, then your exhibit A and number two would be the resolution that it does approve the execution of the lease and the sale of the real estate to the building corp. And this pretty much summarizes, again, some of the issues in the lease, but this does give final approval for the lease agreement. And I believe Bob is going to have a meeting with the building corp for them to accept the lease agreement also. So we need a motion on this exhibit A, resolution authorizing execution of lease and sale of real estate.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Bittner.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. We didn't need a motion for the holding the hearing. Okay.
No.
I didn't think. Okay. Discussion, please. This is all material we've had and been dealing with, but all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Resolution, Ross, go ahead and go on to item three, please.
Okay, we got exhibit B, and there's been changes in continuing disclosure. Back in 17, federal securities laws went into effect for bonds issued after February of 19. So there's, we always have Umbaugh do our continuing disclosure, which, you know, we meet the SEC requirements for any providing financial information, our Form 9, if there's any change in our AV, any significant change in corporation assets, or any significant change in our operation. Mm-hmm. So this goes back to amend prior continuing disclosure agreements plus new continuing disclosure agreements. So I don't know, Bob, if you have any more comment to
make
on that.
Well, just a general observation. What's happened is the SEC is dealing with the sale of bonds in the same manner they would be dealing with the issuance of bonds or securities by a public held corporation, and they've required much greater disclosure, and they require compliance, and they ask, Ross is our compliance officer. So what's happened is that these documents are being, especially disclosures, are being monitored very, very closely, and even our bond counsel indicates it's a whole new ground. So I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Glad you put your name on it.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so we need a motion.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion or questions? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Item four, Ross.
Step number four, then, is the resolution assigning construction bids and contracts once received. So once the school corporation receives the bids, we need to sign them then to the building corporation, and that's basically what this resolution would allow. So recommend approval of this construction bids and contracts once received. And I think, Rocky, we expect that late June, though.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Prochnow. Second,
second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion, April, does carry. Item five, Ross.
Okay, so back to Exhibit D, which is another resolution approving amended and restated post issuance. This one more specifically deals with back on December 5th to 16, when we went through the issuance of the first bond, we did a bunch of this continuous disclosure document. This goes back to amend that because the rules have been amended. So basically, this gives authority to amend back and make it all current under the current regulations for our compliance. I did talk to them while I said, you know, you're going to have to help out on this, which they do, but I mean, they're up on it, and I'll be working with them to make sure we issue all the necessary documents once needed.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. Discussion.
I just have something on the previous one. Just do they still think it's going to be a favorable time for the bids to go out?
It's going to be a little delayed, but they think it'll still be favorable because they're past a lot of, I think there were like 19 bids that occurred in April.
But nothing else has come up? Okay.
Not that we're aware of.
All right.
Time is a little bit better, yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Trustee Bank for 2019 bond, and Mr. Sloan.
Yeah, sorry to get this in late today, but we just got the information late Friday. Then I worked with the bank on this. This is the trustee bank will hold the proceeds from the bond, and then when we have pay applications and other invoices, we send them to the trustee bank, and they'll issue the check. For that, they'll invest the funds according to our cash flow needs. So that this is based on like a 20-year amortization on the loan, and so the annual fee you can see, and then the acceptance fee. And the reason you see this crossed out, our bond in 16, we used Huntington Bank. We were pleased with them. We do have other deposits with Huntington Bank. The last issue we had in 17 was with Old National. I prefer that we continue to work with Huntington, but I preferred a little better rate fee structure with them, and they were willing to reduce their fee rate to what you see noted on the document in front of you. So our recommendation would be to go with the Huntington Bank for our trustee bank.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense from that standpoint, certainly. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Item five, waiver of protected taxes.
And what this is about is a circuit breaker. And this come in after the last board meeting, but I had to submit it by April 30th. So I'm kind of asking you to look at this retro. I mean, if you don't approve it, I'll cancel out, but I think it's something we need to do. So what it is, you take our full amount of our circuit breaker, which will probably be about $1.5 million in 19, and they basically, unless you qualify, they won't let any of that hit the debt fund. So all the $1.5 million would go to our operations fund. So if you qualify, the percentage down here has to be like over 20% of the ratio of circuit breaker credits in the operation fund to the certified levy. we're about 30%, so we're 10% above, so we can ask for the waiver. So that means the circuit breaker of $1.5 million be distributed over the operations fund and the debt fund according to the percent that the levies are in those funds. So it does hurt the debt fund, but I mean, the money's not gonna, you're gonna lose $1.5 million or whatever it comes out to be. It's just a matter of how it's distributed among the funds. So on a ask for a waiver, I'm asking that the debt not be protected so we can spread it out over both funds, not just the operations fund. So I had to file this document and get the DLGF to approve it. I mean, they'll send back, you know, when I get the approval, but it says on there I have authority from the school board to submit this written request, which, like I said, I had to have this in by the 30th of April, or we wouldn't even qualify. So I'm kind of asking to do this in arrears.
Okay, I need a motion, please.
So.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prock now. I mean, it's, makes, again, makes sense to be able to lower that in some fashion. What,
we'd like to have the $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd like it all.
Yeah.
Can't you finagle that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to finagle a whole bunch of things right now, and it's not working.
Other questions, comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none. Ross, we appreciate you moving that forward. Rainy day fund resolution, and
yeah.
Ross.
On the rainy day fund, what the purpose of this is, because we have funds in the rainy day fund, but you need board authorization on how you're going to spend the money in the rainy day fund. And I kind of like this as a backup in case we need to have some additional funds to help pay some of our debt. Now, you know, we're counting on, we got the lease of the Happy Hollow to the city. We could deposit this money in the rainy day fund, and if needed, that could help offset some of our levy to mitigate any tax rate increase in the debt fund. So that gives us authority. I'm not saying we'd need to do it, but you know, when it, because we'll start getting tax collections in June. We'll have a June settlement for the first 6 months. I don't know where it'll be. We haven't any, you know, of course, what, May 10th is when the taxes are due, but so we don't have any idea of what the collection is going to be. But this gives us some flexibility to work with the rainy day fund in this situation.
What will also help us is, as you know, that we've lost that $61 million in assessed valuation due to a county auditor's miscalculation. And so what we're trying to do is position ourselves to give us as much time as we can to try to mitigate any kind of a tax rate increase on the debt service. And so that's the big issue that we're facing short term. And by doing this, that could help us offset some of that and give us a little bit more time to try to find other ways to fix this.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
By Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Prock now. discussion or questions? Of that $61 million, how much does that mean in $2 to us? I mean, if you do the math of the percentage, what?
We're probably, what, between $400,000 and $500,000 mm-hmm. short. Mm-hmm. We will be shortly. I mean, in 4 or 5 years. If we get more fundraising going and we do more things, we're like, leasing Happy Hollow when the city moves out, and we get more fundraising from the foundation. If we find some maybe legislative fixes that we're going to be talking with our legislators about, you know, that could, of course, move all of that down the road. But if everything holds true, we're probably 4 to 5 years away before the impact of needing to raise the tax rate would occur. Is that fair,
right.
Ross?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Ross, we'll move to you again for item 7, financial software.
Yeah. I'd like consideration here if we want to move to a different financial software. Kind of give you an outline in the narrative right. In the memo part about the past, and we changed to software in 2013. It was a new software in the state. We were the second school to get in it, and everything looked good and promises made. And Now we're 5-6 years later, and the company that sold us the software got bought out, and we've seen significant changes in their support. When we have issues, we call in, and we may not get called back for 2 days. We put in a work order, you know, for an issue, and some schools have not heard back for a month. So due to that, we've explored some other options. So we've talked to TSC. They have SSI, which is Software Systems. Lafayette Schools just converted from CompuTro to Software Systems this past year. Rossville just completed a conversion. We've talked to all those schools. Connie and Janelle, we've gone to different meetings to look at demonstrations and software examples, and so we really like to consider this move. My only hesitation is it's a big job to change software. I mean, this does your payroll, does all your accounting, your receipting, your expenditures, runs all your reports. So you got to transfer all your history over into it, you know, and so that takes a lot of time. You can see the cost wise on here. To me, it's a real reasonable software conversion cost compared to Lyle Associates. Skyward, we've called down for 2 weeks. They've not called back and give us any quote. And so our thought would be, if we want to move ahead, I want your feeling, you know, if it's okay to do this, because we would like to make, if we do make a conversion, we'd like to do it at the end of the third quarter of this year. If not, we have to go to an updated platform in our current New World system, and that's going to be another learning curve for everybody in the business office, so I kind of want to avoid that if we can. So I'd like your consideration if we want to move ahead with this, you know, we'll have to make a decision in the next probably 3 or 4 weeks. Once we do a little more investigation, that would be okay.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion.
Have you seen the software?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, we've seen it. We went to a couple of demonstrations. I had Janelle go over to TSC, sit with the gal, does a bank reconciliation to see the modules, how that works. Connie's looked at the payroll part, and so it all seems cleaner. I think the big advantage is this company's only service is Indiana. They have 31 other schools. Tyler Technologies is nationwide. They have, you know, Indiana schools, but only six. And I go to user meetings with the six, and it's a lot of complaints. People are not real happy. The closest one that has what we have now, I think, well, Goshen has it, Franklin Township in Indianapolis, Huntington, and Decatur. But they've been a hard sell. People aren't happy with the service. I mean, you know, if you have a product and you get good service, that's one thing. But if you have a good product and bad service, that's something else. And it just seems like we have weekly issues with it.
And it takes days, sometimes weeks.
Yeah. Sorry, Mrs., what do we pay now?
We paid, once we went through this, when we converted there, we paid about, it was like $200,000 for the conversion. Our annual renewal is $20,000. So now we're just on the annual renewal. So this annual renewal will be somewhat less. I mean, yeah, I know we're going to go backwards here for a little bit, but I think we'll recover it in the long term. And I think the gals will be more efficient in some of the processes that they do on the system.
And this comes out of the tech fund.
Yeah, no, it's not a general fund.
Did any of the other corporations have issues with the conversion?
Any conversion, you're going to have some issues. I mean,
anything that they were willing to not go through again.
I mean, we talked to Lafayette last fall when they're going through it, and they were complaining.
Okay.
Now they're real happy. Okay. I mean, it's a learning curve anytime you get new software.
Right. We asked the DOE if we could go back to paper and pencil. They said no.
And how was the support?
Support is good. Okay. You call, you get a live person. Connie went to a user meeting down at Plainfield the other week. I mean, they were there. They know what Indiana needs, and they know what the State Board of Accounts requires for Indiana schools.
Okay.
So that's a real plus for this system.
How long do you think the conversion will take?
I'd probably say 6 weeks. I mean, you want to get your history in, and you got to have a go live date with your payroll. That's what's critical. So we go live with the payroll and all the financials probably at the same time. Eventually, then we'll get ECA on it. But my target would be at the end of October if we go live. That way, we'd have history in, because at the end of the year, you got the Form 9 and other things, and I don't want to have to convert two systems into one report. It'd be nice to get the history in and convert everything over.
So you would let the start of the school year and all the hiring and all the stuff that happens happen,
yeah,
and then start a conversion after that?
Well, and that's why I've told the gals here, I said, you know, there's going to be some heavy lifting to get this done, so we got, the timing's going to have to work out. Now, they come in, do the training. I mean, they'll load, you know, with Brandon, they can draw data out of our new road system and upload it into the new software. So a lot of that would be kind of be behind the scenes, and the training would be learning all the operations and all the screens you can pull down and, you know, what, how to put in the data to run your reports and things like that. So I know it's not a, you know, finger snap to get it done. It's work.
Other questions?
Not an abacus.
Yeah, it's not. All in favor of the motion, or any other questions, I'm sorry. All in favor of the motions, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none. Go get them, Ross. bus replacement, and back to you, Ross. This is information only.
Yeah, on bus replacement, when we did the budget for 19, we had in there to trade in one bus. Now, bus just need to be recycled every 12 years, so the oldest buses we have are 2009s. So that means 2021 is when you need to trade them out. So that's, keep that in mind. Plus, now we're going to get 6 buses from Glass when we do the decentralization of transportation. So I talked with Doug, our transportation director, and I said, well, because I know we got some other expenses coming up, if we can hold off on buying a bus for another year, we're still within the 12-year threshold. Even if we have to do some minor maintenance on this bus that we trade in, I'd prefer to wait. So I guess what I'm telling you is, I think we'll wait another year to buy a bus. It's going to give us more flexibility in operations funds, which I think we need. And at this time, with 6 other buses coming in, we just need to assess this again before. I just don't want to buy a bus just because we advertised it.
How much are we getting the 6 buses for?
$6.
Yeah.
Because we paid for them. Through the bus replacement.
Over.
But we paid
for many years.
We've been paying for them.
Yeah.
That's a true statement.
$6.
So, Alan, this is kind of information. Okay. I think I'd like to hold off on that.
All right. Thank you, Ross. I appreciate that. Any comments or questions there? All right. Item 8, Student Code of Conduct and Staff Handbook Revisions. Dr. Kidd.
That was a Freudian skip.
I would like to skip. I would be happy to skip the
legislative update. Well, give us some good news, right?
I have none.
Okay.
I wish I did. Okay. House Bill 1001 passed, as some legislators call it, as a historic budget for public schools. Depends on how you measure historic, with charter schools getting 18% increase, virtual schools getting 22%, and on average, public schools about 2.5. As you know what average is, some win, some lose. So there are right now calculated some 60-plus school districts that will not see an increase in funding because it's based upon student enrollment growth. And our current ADM on the books from the fall is 2,341. And in the spring, our spring ADM went down to 2,322, so we're 19 fewer students in the spring than we were in the fall. And House Bill 1001 for our funding run starts at 2,341. So we're 19 students fewer than even the baseline where they're saying we're starting. In order for us to see any kind of increase, we have to be at 2,380-something, 81, 82, 83. Right now, our projections still are holding that we'll probably be 20 to 30 students fewer. So that's disconcerting for us. We probably will see, starting January, maybe $110,000 to $130,000 less from the state over the course of the calendar year than what we're currently getting right now. And as I've reminded people, that doesn't even fix the funding that we've lost over the last 15 plus years. In 2009, just baseline, we were getting close to $6,300 per student, baseline ADM. In 2019, with this new budget, we'll be just under $5,700 per student. So 10 years later, we're $600 less, basically, per student than we were 10 years ago. And I haven't seen our costs decrease, our costs have increased. Fortunately, we've been able to pass two referendums to help us with that. But as I've also mentioned, we lost $61 million in assessed valuation, and that's probably around $220,000 less in referendum revenue because of the auditor's miscalculation. House Bill 1003 passed in its current form, where it's requiring public schools to have an 85-15% threshold. And so what that basically means, if we don't get to count the referendum, as I've explained before, we're at 79% versus 21%. And what that means is that we either have to raise revenue $6 million or cut costs by $1 million to balance it. And legislators put within this bill that if you don't have the 85-15% threshold, Ross and I, representatives from school board, have to go down, give a plan to legislators, and tell them how we're going to fix the 85-15%. So I just personally like to just go down and say we're not going to fix this, and you know, fix it and do whatever you want to do to us. If we get to include the referendum, which I'm hoping that we do, we're at 83% versus 17%. So the cost versus the revenue is a little bit closer. It's not as bad, but you always have to have that referendum in order to keep that percentage. So House Bill 1003, I think, is going to be problematic. House Bill 1021 is a five-year implementation phase-in of the circuit breaker into the operational funds. And what that means is that more money, circuit breaker money, is going to come out of the operational fund over the next 5 years, and by year five, so by 2023, 24, in that range, we will see an additional $600,000 coming out of our operational fund. Is that right, Ross? Mm-hmm. So all of these things, you add them all up, we have a recipe for disaster in a variety of ways. So we have to now start doing some course corrections in order to mitigate bigger issues down the road. So those are some problems. And another thing that came up that I just learned about a couple of weeks ago was Senate Enrolled Act, I think it's 390, where collective bargaining now requires a hearing prior to going to collective bargaining, where you have to have a community hearing on collective bargaining, which community members can come and speak to the contract or anything they want to speak to, I guess. Then you can enter into collective bargaining between September 15th and November 15th, and you have to be done by November 15th and before this board and WLAA can ratify a contract, you have to have another public hearing, have to post the contract online and allow community input. So you just now got two more meetings established. For what purpose, I really don't know, but we're going to go through that process. And there are a variety of other things that I have concerns about. The big thing, I think, in 2022 is the new accountability model with graduation pathways. And if you have not read that, you need to read it, because in 2022, accountability is now going to be based upon more vocational and less academics. We're not a vocational school. We're an academic school. So I'm real worried about that particular issue. So I told Ross at dinner tonight that this is probably one of the few years that I'm really having trouble sleeping because of all of the new legislation that I think is going to adversely impact us all at once, and very concerned about it. So other than that, pretty good.
See, that's why I wanted to skip that.
Well, I'm just forewarning everyone. You know, I'm trying to forewarn people. You know, I feel like the Tom Crier, actually, a little bit. You know, something's coming. Something is coming. So be ready. We got to get ready, because this is not going to be easy. One of the things we're going to do, I should have said this, I'm trying to put together a town hall meeting sometime this fall. And I've invited Dr. McCormick. I've invited Larry DeBoer. Invited J.T. Koopman. I'm going to invite a variety of people across the state. And Larry DeBoer has agreed to help, because I think people really need to understand a more in-depth look at what's happen and what's getting ready to happen, and see some real specific calculations. And it shouldn't come from me. It should come from other people that are also working on this and have a global understanding statewide, and also Larry DeBoer, who loves to crunch numbers for whatever reason, and he understands our predicament very, very well. When I shared with him all of this information, he looked at it, he shook his head, and he said, "You just can never get a break, can you?" I said, "No, I can't." But anyway, we're going to try to do that sometime this fall, and I'll have more information for you.
So on 1003, do we know, like, a timeline when we'll know whether they're going to include the referendum dollars or not?
I have to wait to see the legislation. Okay. As soon as we see what the specific legislation is, then more likely than not, we'll have to write a letter of request to determine interpretation of it, because I don't know that they'll actually say referendum.
An early version had that in it.
Yeah, it did.
A lot of changes were made.
Yeah. So I've got to wait to see what the final version is, but I know the 85-15% threshold passed.
Correct.
Okay.
Was there any action on the changing the referendum vote date that died?
That died. Thank God. That had passed, then with, you know, that would have been the perfect storm.
All right. So we'll move on to student code of conduct and staff handbook revisions, and Dr. Killer.
At your place are the elementary revisions and the staff handbook from Willis. We did get a couple of things adjusted per some school board calls, and so recommending your approval of those things.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. Discussion. Thanks to all that put your effort into this. It's a thankless job, to say the least. But any other questions or comments about the revisions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that April, that motion does carry. All right, board policy revisions, and Dr. Killian.
We're just now getting caught up to last year's revisions. So the revisions that are presented to you is based upon Indiana code adjustments that occurred in the fall. We still have yet to get through what the new revisions will be, and that will occur this coming summer and the fall. So we're recommending your approval, if you agree, without a first reading, of just the revisions that we presented, because it's based upon adjustments in Indiana code. You're going to get another round of this because there were 57 plus education bills that were just passed. And I'm not sure how all of those affect us, but we're going through those, trying to determine which ones we're going to have to adjust again.
Okay. Need a motion, please. Move by Mrs. Prochnow.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, comments?
I just want to point out on this, as we're working on them, we are really trying to word them so that they don't have to be revised. There are situations where we're saying per Indiana code, or that type of language, to avoid the constant revisions. They're never ending. It can't be done everywhere, but we're trying.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I appreciate your work.
They're working hard.
Yeah, we're doing a good job.
They are working hard.
Other questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. And thanks to all of your efforts. Check removal, and Mr. Slope.
Yeah, State Board of Accounts requires checks that are over 2 years old not been cashed, that they be canceled out, so you can see the list of the checks in front of you, that we'd recommend that these be canceled.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. Discussion.
Two of these are family members of staff. We feel like we maybe ought to reach out to them.
I talked to the ECA ones. Patty said she's, you know, made whatever contact was needed, so
okay.
I kind of followed up with her on that.
Okay.
At some point.
It's a donation.
Yeah.
It's a donation.
I'm just asking if it's a courtesy or not.
Yeah.
They're being courteous.
We need about 1,000 of those.
Yeah.
But anyway. Not that we're trying to do it. It does help.
Okay. Any other comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. School board organizational clarification, and Dr. Killian.
I didn't do this correctly in January. I didn't state it correctly, so I want to make sure that the board hears this, and then we also get it in the minutes. It's per Indiana Code 20-26-4-7. With regards to compensation, $2,000 per year per board member. And then the board has approved $100 per board meeting. That's a regular board meeting. A board meeting, a special called board meeting, like an executive session or a work session meeting, can only be paid at the $62 per meeting level. So I just want to make sure that's in the minutes and to make sure that I get board approval on that, because it's a little bit of debate going on with ISBA. Right, Bob?
Well, you couldn't figure this out in a million years.
No.
But basically, the interpretation is that we look to Indianapolis City Council and what they pay their city council people. And that rate is the rate that is universal. And don't ask me how that happened. But it's crossing. You never find it. It took me half an hour to hear the explanation. It's nuts.
And I'm glad you took the half an hour, not me.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
By Mr. Bittner.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion.
What's the rate for unnecessary public hearings on collective bargaining?
Is that a special meeting or?
That works out.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I think it probably will be a special board meeting, and it all depends on how far we get with negotiations. So.
Oh, okay.
I could use the $62. So there you go. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry.
I think I figured out that you're getting about $2 an hour for your work.
So. Somewhere around there. It's good. Latchkey program agreement and. Mr. Slope.
Yes, remember at the last meeting you approved Just Us Kids to be our after-school provider. So we had that agreement with them. Now this agreement, that agreement is to ask them to provide the services. Now this agreement outlines in more detail what parts of the building they can use, what months they can use those parts of the building, and what fees they pay us for building use. So it's similar to what we had with Wonderful Weekdays, except there's, of course, with the new building, there's adjustments in some of the rooms, and the amount that they're paying us is the same as what we charge Wonderful Weekdays. And other than that, it's, I think Bob went through and kind of cleaned up some of the language on insurance and things, and
yeah.
Made sure we're all up to date on our agreement, so we recommend your approval.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion. Anything may, I mean, nothing other than the revisions there. Just status quo, I mean, to be able to get them up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Capital improvement donation and Dr. Killian.
Here's our good news. Joel and Aaron, come on up.
Yeah.
Or whomever. And Mr. Warner?
He's special support.
Hey, we're appreciative. We have some great news, and Coach Cook and our athletic director, Mr. Strode, have some good news to provide to you with regards to our soccer fields and some work that everyone's been doing to try to upgrade the facility. So, Joel, I'll turn
Yeah, first off, thanks for having us. Let us be part of this meeting. I think in front of you guys kind of have some of the documentation, a brief summary of what's going on, but it starts with removing the current layer of sod and laser leveling the soccer surface and repairing and improving the irrigation system, and then kind of installing a newer grade and higher quality grass field. So it's still grass, it's not artificial turf or something. That's what the soccer folks prefer. And really with this, it's been a good experience for me. I appreciate Mr. Sloat and Dr. Killian kind of giving me some on-the-job training with this process, but more importantly, the work that Sharon Cook, our head varsity soccer coach, has done going out and raising this money. We're constantly, I know we have to deal with some of the negative stuff and the news and the legislative stuff, but this has been a pretty cool reminder of how special the community is, and what Aaron's been able to do. And for me, one of the best parts, you see Mr. Warner, math legend, one of my mentors in the math department. You know, it's been amazing because as I've learned, first soccer coach at Westside, is that correct? So the fact that the fact that Aaron's been able to bring people like Mr. Warner into the project to kind of celebrate some of the alumni and the history of the program, and it's been a cool process. And the result is going to be probably close to $85,000 worth of donations, and the remaining balance coming from the athletic CPF to provide the kids with a really nice surface, upgrading the practice goals, which are a pain for our maintenance guys. They can't even move them now. Now they'll be able to move them by themselves and cut the grass. And
maybe it's
just an overall kind of improvement of that facility. So something that the kids deserve and the coaches. And I'm sure Aaron has a few things maybe to add. But
just a couple. So I didn't go out and talk to Dave originally. He came to me and said, hey, I heard you guys are doing this. So I want to thank him very much for coming in. Dave was instrumental in doing a match to a really significant amount. So once we launched our final phase of the fundraising, which happened about 10 days ago, we were able to announce his match as the original varsity coach for 15 years. I was actually on my freshman year, we were still a club sport. And then Coach Warner came my sophomore year, so I was on the very first year of varsity soccer, which was 30 plus years ago, which is kind of scary. I was on Andy Hipscher's, her husband, not to date her because she's younger. Alex Hipscher was a tri-captain with me. And one of the neat things about this fundraiser is the third tri-captain my senior year, his name is Nozomu Okubo, who's from Japan, if I remember correctly. I hadn't heard from him since literally graduation. He didn't speak a lot of English. He was a really nice guy. And he just completely out of the blue, 30 years later, sent us $2,000 on the donation. So we've had some really special moments. I think we're just kind of we'll see some additional funding. We are committed at 85 right now, 1,000. Thanks to Coach Warner finishing up there. So we've still got some hope for a little more to come. But we're hoping to have a little bit of a nest egg to help maintenance. Because this field project is almost identical to the football field project that you guys did several years ago. It's the same contractor, JD Turf, which Purdue University Athletics uses a lot and recommended as their number one choice. But this is going to be the most influential change that we've had in the program, in my opinion, in 30 years. Because for us to get new grass and to change, it changes the sport almost. It literally does. We will have a turf surface. If we can handle it maintenance-wise, which I know they can, that'll be very similar to the Purdue women's practice soccer field. It'll be a Kentucky bluegrass. Mm-hmm. The Ben Grass field, which is their game field, requires a $100,000 mower, and you know that's a crazy level of maintenance, and we don't have those wishes. So
that's right.
The bluegrass field will be amazing. It'll be as good or better quality than the grass fields at Graham Park. For those of you that have kids that play down there, and they have 30 fields, so it's a little different, but. This field's going to be fantastic. It'll be the best in the area. And it kind of puts us back where we were when we were the very first varsity program in town. We're going to now have the very first high-quality grass field. So super excited. The goals, just as a final point on the goals are really critical to us. We have 45 to 50 people in our program, the boys program. Another 35 plus or minus on the girls' side, could be higher in a given year. Putting 45 guys on the exact same field for practice is a huge challenge. And so with our goal projections and hopes, we'll be able to move these goals. We couldn't really move the other goals without, we've actually had people cut on them. They're heavy. They weigh literally like 400 or 500 pounds. They're old steel goals that were here when Coach Warner was here. And the new technology is all aluminum. They're amazing. They're on wheels. They roll. We can move them in practice. I know this sounds cheesy, but it's really will be an awesome advantage for us in our practices. So we're super excited about that. But I want to thank you again for some of the torture we put some of you through and trying to get feedback, and I want to thank Joel for going through this because his hair had been on fire for the last year with coming on what he did and having a lot of challenges, and I really appreciate all that. This is something that we plan to do for several years, and we finally got the people in place that I knew would support this, and I think our soccer community is really excited about it, and it's going to be great for the kids for many years to come regardless of me being involved. So I'm glad to kind of come back into this and be on a field. I remember one of our donations, by the way, from when Coach Horner's, one of his early teams was, I remember the days when we were pulling the hose and the sprinkler out by hand after our practices and picking up rocks out of the rutty. I mean, so the field's come a long way, and now we're going to raise it to another level. So a lot of the alumni from the original days remember how challenging it was, and furthermore, we're kind of been reaching out more to the community. We've hosted a couple of neat events. We had Borussia Dortmund last year. This year, we have Indy 11 on our practice fields for a day, and some youth activity will come over and be able to play with both the new women's coach for Westside and myself. And so it's just neat to kind of show off our facilities. They won't be on the game field, but we'll take good care of that. So we're very excited. So thanks for the time, and I appreciate all of your support.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Mr. Morrow, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't even like soccer, but I like it now. The way your enthusiasm is contagious.
We have plenty of room in the bleachers for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Well, thank you guys for doing this. Dave's good seeing you. Thank you for your heart.
I think one thing, Aaron has done a great job of bringing, you can tell, passion behind this, but it's really important for us to also, from a long-term perspective of folks that are interested in not only donating to soccer, but also to education initiatives, that's an important thing as well. But this will be, I think, money well spent and money that they're passionate about keeping it nice, and that's an important thing. And I think it's a great thing too. Obviously, you got both the boys and girls programs that will benefit from this. But I think Aaron, even through some of my discussions with him on this, is that it benefits his boys program, but it benefits the entire community, and that's an important thing. So thank you guys very much for all that. Very much appreciated. So all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed. Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thank you guys. And thanks for bringing some good news into the meeting. That's good. We like that. Now we'll go back to the budget calendar.
Yeah. Oh.
2020 budget calendar. And Aaron and you guys all know you don't have to stay to the end, but if
you'll want to, though.
But you may want to. 2020 budget calendar and Mr. Sloan.
Yeah, on the calendar, I would anticipate we'd have something to look at, but then I realize there's some changes coming up. I go into a meeting this week about budget advertising and some changes that the legislation may have made. So I'm just telling you, we're probably more likely looking at later in August, probably a budget work session like we normally do. As far as the key dates when I got advertised, some of those are unknown. And what I can do is through Rocky send that out when we get more firm dates and numbers on that.
Okay. That's just for information only. GLCA agreement resolution and Dr. Killian.
We have an update to the Career Academy agreement. The Department of Education has now approved the consortium, and so we're getting ready to open up that facility. And as a reminder, May 15th, 6:30, we have our joint meeting with LSC, TSC, and our school district, and we will be at the Greater Lafayette Career Academy there on right across the street from Jeff High School.
It's a Teal Road, right?
Right. So we're recommending your approval of this updated resolution agreement with the GLCA between the three school districts.
Okay, need a motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Prochnow.
Second
by Mr. Schott. Discussion, please. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Enrollment update, Dr. Killian.
As I already indicated, our projections with regards to enrollment next year are holding. We think we'll be down. We're hoping we're wrong, but we have to correct now. Fortunately, we do have enough resignations, retirements to do any reductions in force due to enrollment projections through attrition. So we will be doing that through attrition. By January, it's my prediction that we will have, if these enrollment numbers hold, by January we will have about two fewer certified staff, two to three fewer non-certified staff, and one administrator position. And then we'll have to be reviewing next year what this additional legislation might be looking like. And you know, I know these are difficult conversations to have, and I know people aren't necessarily fond of the things that I'm having to say, but I would rather make sure that I get everything out in front rather than being caught blindsided with this and then having to do some major things. So we're doing everything we can to make course corrections to ensure that down the road that we don't have to do any major upheavals like occurred back in the mid-90s when enrollment really dipped and staff changes did not occur. There was quite a lot of issues that occurred during that time, so we're trying to do our best. People have asked, what about transfer tuition and opening that up and bringing in more kiddos? Transfer tuition has nothing to do with ADM. You can bring in all the transfer people you want, but it does not impact your average daily membership or what you get per the state. But how that works is you bill the school district in which they come from a year in arrears. So if you bring in 50 kids and you have to hire two teachers, I like to hire students. If you hire two teachers, you're paying for that up front, and you cannot get that money from the school district in which they come until a year later. It doesn't have anything to do with our state tuition. So we will see gradual uptick, I think, of transfer tuition over time, but we can't do it all at once because of the cost involved with, if you do that, of additional staff when we're having already budgetary constraints. So I could see that as a gradual increase.
Okay. It's just information only. Cancellation of July 2nd board meeting, Dr. Killian.
I'm recommending your approval. I think it's July 1st, but if it's 2nd, anyway, the July board meeting, and asking authorization from the school board for business office, superintendent's office to handle all business and personnel operations and any construction bids with formal approval of operations to be presented at the August school board meeting.
And it is actually July 1st. Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Mark.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bittner. We've canceled the last 2 or 3 years, I would say, mm-hmm. This month. Any discussion, please?
Enjoy your July.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion carries. Overnight field trips. High school robotics team did already compete in Detroit April 24th and 27th. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Personnel, Dr. Killian.
Recommend your approval of all the items listed in the personnel report.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
Cool.
By Mrs. Prochnow. Second.
Second. guys awake.
Yeah.
Discussion.
We're getting there. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah. We're getting there.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable and Mr. Sloat.
Yeah, we have a total of $4,451,32.81. That includes $1,004,000 of construction projects. Talked to Lefty today, probably on the Willis project. We'll be closing that out probably end of June. And looks like we should have in the range of $400,000 to $500,000 of contingency money that's not spent. But that's good news.
That's really good news.
That's good news.
That helps with our debt service projects.
Yeah. Just a couple items. We did pay the first and second quarter for glass. You see $182,000 twice in there. That was our glass payment out of the education fund, and then there was glass payment out of the operations fund of $94,145 for both first and second quarter. The only other one I want to point out is $41,000 on Huntington credit card. The $40,000 of that was for our property insurance quarterly payment.
Okay. Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry and we'll pay our bills. Information of the board, I don't have anything new. Board and superintendent reports. We'll start around the horn with Mr. Marley if there's anything on your end.
I don't have anything tonight.
Okay, Mr. Schott.
Nothing.
Melissa.
West Lafayette Education Foundation launched the $1.5 million Robert Kelly Performing Arts Center fundraising initiative. Rocky may be able to let everybody know more about that. West Side Story was a success. They have an increased revenue from previous years. They had exceeded their goal for the annual campaign. They were still taking donations, but they had closed that out. They're working to finalize the 2020 Wild Pride inductees, and the members should be released this summer in the review newsletter that they send out. Public School Foundation, everybody has an invitation for the grant reception on 5/14. We do have Katie Dodds, who won for Investigating Force, Speed, and Engineering with a Marble Run was her project. The cupcake registration is open, and that run takes place on 9/22. We also went to community forum, but most of what was presented was Rocky. Purdue Hotel will be closed this June, and Parks and Rec was not there.
Policy and teacher discussion, which Rocky will update everyone.
Ryan, anything for you?
And Rocky did a great job, unfortunately, of the legislative update, so and so I'll leave that one alone, not to end the meeting.
Go ahead.
Negatively. But I did attend the West Lafayette City Commission meeting. Nothing really jumped out. So,
oh, yeah. Okay. Rocky, anything for you?
I brought the WLEA up to date with regards to enrollment projections and either going through attrition or looking at half-time positions starting out to be reduced in force. Looking at sixth-hour positions at this grade 7 through 12 in a timeline. Went over the budgetary constraints by the various House bills, legislative bills, and the impact on our 1920 and 2021 finances. Talked a little bit about debt service versus educational fund, and talked about the getting a proposal from Amber with regards to the dyslexia screening certified reading specialist requirements. Also to go back to what Melissa said with regards to fundraising, the foundation has reached its goal with the James R. Guy Education Wing, probably right around $2.3 million right now. We started the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center fundraising. I've attended a few events and was at the string concerts last night introducing the Furnish the Future campaign. Our goal is to raise $1.5 million for that facility over the next 6 to 8 months so that we can increase the capacity of what we want to do in that project.
Yeah, though those fundraising campaigns are have reached their goals, like any fundraising campaign, we still have initiatives, one being BRIC for the James R. Guy, and there'll be, again, some additional things that will be going on with respect to the Furnish the Future as well. So, I mean, Lindsay Walls and the group at the foundation has done a really good job to keep that moving and actively try to continue to move those things forward. So that's been a good thing. Communication from the audience. Anybody want to speak now? Going once. Future meetings. We've talked about the joint board meeting at the Greater Lafayette Academy. Discussion on the 16th of May. School year concludes on Wednesday, May 22nd. Graduation. 24th at 7, and our next regular board meeting will be on the 3rd. That's Monday, June 3rd at Central Office here at 6:30. Need a motion for adjournment?
Want to start at 6:30?
Is that going to start early? 6:30, yeah, on the 3rd. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. For graduation.
Probably 6:35, 6:40. Though there is also the West Lafayette Foundation event as well.
The 15th, I think, is the career
fair.
I think you said the 16th.
Yeah, okay. Wednesday is the 15th, and Thursday is discussion.
Okay.
I probably misspoke there. Okay, need a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mrs. Prock. Now, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none. We are adjourned. We have some things to sign. And thank you all for coming.
Enjoy the warm weather.
Yeah.